Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. Macedonia, the magic word to NATO or not? The issue of Macedonia's constitutional name, which has long been an obstacle to its membership in NATO and the EU, might finally be resolved this year as Skopje and Athens signal their desire to end the stalemate as soon as possible. Trump in Davos, American nationalist in the midst of globalist. Trump's upcoming trip to the World Economic Forum in Davos next week will find the American nationalist uncharacteristically rubbing shoulders with some of the world's most well-known globalists. And also, Kosovo, killing peace. The assassination of Kosovo's Serb politician, Oliver Ivanovich, threatens to derail the normalization negotiations between Belgrade and its breakaway province. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm is the Macedonia name issue. The issue of Macedonia's constitutional name, which has long been an obstacle to its membership in NATO and the EU, might finally be resolved this year, as Skopje and Athens signal their desire to end the stalemate as soon as possible. Greece had hitherto used its veto for decades to obstruct the consensus agreement that both organizations need in order to admit new members, arguing that its northern neighbor's name implies territorial pretensions to the Greek region of Macedonia. The Republic of Macedonia, which is what the country is officially known as, says that this is nonsense and that its name pays homage to the ancient region of Macedonia without laying claim to any land within Greece's contemporary borders. The name issue has many historical nuances that incite impassioned responses from both sides, but the geopolitical relevance of all of this to the present day is that the two countries are now very serious about resolving this dispute and consequently paving the way for Macedonia's accelerated membership into NATO and the EU, provided, of course, that they can surmount this major obstacle. Macedonia's new Prime Minister, Zoran Zaev, has vowed to implement a solution in the near future. And while Greece is more than happy to see its northern neighbor seriously consider a compromised name and essentially disown its entire identity, some nationalist voices are insistent that the word Macedonia not be used at all. It's already going to be a gargantuan task for Zaev to convince his electorate to approve of any other name besides the existing constitutional one of the Republic of Macedonia in any presumably forthcoming referendum, so potentially setting the prerequisite that this word can't be used will probably make it impossible for him to push ahead with this by any democratic measures. Nevertheless, Greece is increasingly insistent that this be the case, thus inadvertently throwing a monkey wrench into the U.S.'s plans to speedily incorporate Macedonia, or whatever else it might be legally called by the time everything is said and done, into the two blocks. While the tiny landlocked country might in and of itself not appear too important to outside observers, it represents the latest step in NATO and the EU's efforts to expand into the final continental frontier of the Balkans. All right, folks, as I mentioned in the intro, this is a very impassionate issue, and people have very strong opinions about this, of course, so we're going to have both a Macedonian and a Greek guest on our program today to discuss this with us, and the first one that we're going to speak to is Ms. Maria Kotovska. Maria is a Macedonian journalist who previously worked as a longtime correspondent in Athens.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Maria, most of our listeners might not be aware of why Macedonia is so important to begin with. So can you please tell us a little bit about why this little country is such a big deal?
Yes, Andrew, thank you for your question. The tiny Macedonia indeed plays a huge role in the Balkans as well as in the rest of Europe, since the country was supposed to represent the narrow throat through which the Russian pipeline Turkish Stream and the Chinese railway Balkan Silk Road were supposed to pass and then move up to the rest of Europe. Having in mind that this would represent a breakthrough for a new multipolar world order, opposite of today's unipolar and Western dictate, it's quite understandable why Macedonia plays such a big role currently. And that is why the West is pushing so hard for the country to change the constitutional name and become part of NATO, while dividing it into two blocks of influence between Albania and Bulgaria as a step towards federalization. The latest attempt to make Macedonia bilingual by officializing the Albanian as a second language, a law that was vetoed by the President of the Republic, Ivanov, as well as the shameful agreement on alleged good neighborly relations with Bulgaria, are showing very precisely that the government of SDSM is leading Macedonia into a partition. Actually, I would like to remind our listeners that it was the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov who a couple of years ago was constantly warning about this scenario of divided Macedonia with a changed name. Aside from the Russian diplomacy, the Russian media were also constantly reporting about the real scenario the West is preparing for Macedonia. I remember that you personally and your media outlet Sputnik were maybe the first international medium that raised the alarm for the dark agenda hiding behind the events that were and still are taking place in Macedonia. And well, Andrew, if someone back then thought that the Tirana platform and the danger of changing the constitutional name and getting partitioned was just some Russian or Vomero propaganda in order to scare people, now, unfortunately, everybody can see by themselves that all this wasn't just our conspiracy theory, right, but a real plot against Macedonia and its people.
Right. Well, Maria, speaking about scenarios, I want to ask you about the one that everybody's talking about, and that's Zaev agreeing to a so-called compromise name for the Republic of Macedonia later this year. So how likely is it that that could happen, and what are the chances that he'd put the final proposal up to a referendum for the people to decide on?
Well, until now, I think that it's pretty clear that Zaev is ready to agree to absolutely everything that the West or our neighbors request from him. Until now, they have managed to damage Macedonia interests for the benefit of Bulgaria and the Albanian minority in Macedonia, and I believe that the same applies for Greece. As a longtime correspondent from Athens, I have been reporting for a very long time that SDSM is the political option that the Greeks want in power in Macedonia, and now we saw why. Now, unlike Vomero Dopamene, whose red lines were that there will be no change in the constitutional name and the identity of the Macedonian people, now we have a totally opposite position from Zaev, who apparently feels that there shouldn't be any red lines whatsoever. I would like to point out the fact that Russia's Foreign Minister Lavrov about a week ago in a statement said that if Macedonia changes its name, Russia will have to accept the name, although Russia is one of the 133 countries that recognize us by our constitutional name. Mr. Lavrov also pointed out that Macedonia is being pressured into changing the name in order to become part of NATO, and that the issue will be solved in favor of Greece since the country is already a NATO member. Few days shortly after that, the current Macedonian negotiator in the name issue that was appointed by Vomero's government, Ambassador Vasco Naumovski, warned that the proposals for solving the issue given by the UN mediator Matthew Nimitz are far from a dignified solution. As for the referendum, there have been divided voices, and while the Albanian partner in the government feels that there is no need of referendum, SDSM insists that there will be one. But you know, Andrew, our history taught us that when it comes to SDSM and referendums, nothing is impossible, as they can easily find ways to frame or manipulate the final outcome of this democratic tool.
You know, I want to ask you about the final outcome for our final question, Maria, because we know that the West has been applying maximum pressure on Macedonia to change its name and therefore speedily enter into NATO and the EU. And that's also why many people believe that they helped overthrow former Premier Nikola Gruevski last year. So, Maria, what other instruments of coercion can they use to ensure their desired outcome? And we got about a minute and a half left.
It's clear that they'll stop at nothing in order to fulfill this goal. Until now, we saw that in this context, they have installed a legitimate proxy government, because let's not forget that Vomero Dopamene won the last parliamentary elections, while the West gave blessings to the unlawful president of the parliament, paving the way for SDSM to form a government. From the publishing of the illegally taped conversations, to the violent protests, the terrorism in Kumanovo, all this was aimed at fulfilling the ultimate goal of changing Macedonia's name and identity. And let's not forget that currently we have 36 Macedonian patriots who are in custody for over a month, because they were leading or took part in the massive citizen protests last year or were somehow involved in the events of 27th April. This was the day when the angry crowd of thousands of protesters went inside the parliament after the illegal swearing-in of the president of the parliament, Talat Jaferi. Among those in custody is the world-famous opera singer Igor Durlovsky, the actor Vlado Jovanovsky, the former Minister of Interior Chavkov, film director Damovsky, members of parliament, a mother of two who lost her unborn child while in custody, and a police officer whose mother died after his arrest and his request to attend the funeral was denied. And, well, many today agree that those Macedonian patriots were arrested and have been charged with nothing less but terrorism, so that a clear message would be sent that this will happen to anyone who will dare to stand up against the anti-Macedonian policy of the Western-backed government.
All right, Maria, this was a very comprehensive conversation about the geopolitical importance of Macedonia and the reason why the name issue is such a big deal. I'm sure that everyone will find this to be very informative. Thanks a lot for that. Now we're going to switch over and hear what our Greek guest has to say, and that's Mr. Alex Christoforo. He's president and writer for TheDuran.com.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Alex, so the new Macedonian government is finally willing to compromise on the country's constitutional name. So why are some in Greece jeopardizing this moment by pressuring it to abandon the word Macedonia entirely and thus make any prospective deal all but impossible to pass at the polls?
Well, I mean, the polls are showing a couple of things. The one thing that they're showing is that an overwhelming majority of Greeks, 7 in 10 to be precise, are against using any reference to the word Macedonia in the new name. In this instance, I think what you really have is you have a genuine fear by a majority of the Greek population that by adding the name Macedonia to what is currently now known as Phyro, you're going to end up with a lot of trouble in the future. And that trouble can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. The one way that it could manifest itself is with an outright conflict in the future. And the Greeks are no strangers to conflict within the area. We all saw what happened to Yugoslavia and Serbia and Croatia in the early 90s. So I think that the Greek population is genuinely concerned about that name being used in Phyro. But there's also a concern and a fear of losing your history and your identity. And I think for Greeks, this is something that strikes very deep in the chord of the Greek heart. Alexander the Great and the history of ancient Greek and the Hellenic Republic is something that's very close and very dear to the Greek population. And in times of crisis, like what Greece is living through, an economic crisis that has lasted 10 years, the history of the country and the heritage of the country is something that, you know, many people, that's what they have to reference a better time to be a Greek. And so I think there's a lot of concern in the population, both concerns for a real conflict that could develop, maybe not in 5 years, maybe not in 10 years, but who knows in 20, 30, 40 years, what could happen when you lose that name to a bordering neighboring country. And then there's of course the social implications for Greece. The person that's leading the charge, Kamenos, who's with the Anel party, you know, he's a junior partner to Syriza, but he's not a radical left politician. He's very much center to off-center right populist. And so he sees the opportunity. He saw the polls. He sees the opportunity to push the agenda forward. Remember, you're going to have elections in a year.
Right.
And so I think that Kamenos is positioning himself with the wish of the population. And he cleverly and cunningly saw what the people were looking for, what the people were polling, and he took that position.
Okay, I see. Well, you know, Alex, I want to ask you about the U.S., NATO, and EU position on this issue, because you've established that the Greek population overwhelmingly is opposed to the inclusion of the name Macedonia in the country's negotiated or compromised name. So with these three actors, U.S., NATO, and EU, they have a stake in the results of these negotiations. So what carrot and stick approach might they employ in trying to pressure Greece to go along with whatever Zaia proposes and not derail this historic deal, regardless if it's offensive to his people or not, and does possibly include the word Macedonia?
Well, you know, I think it's pretty obvious what the EU and the US can offer, and that's what all of Greece would hopefully want, and that debt relief. You know, what they can offer is and Germany will never go for it, of course. But, you know, if the U.S. puts some pressure, you know, maybe they can get some sort of compromise there. But I mean, Greece is dying for that 350 billion noose around its neck to be somehow eased or somehow loosened. That's the one thing that I think Tsipras is also betting on, is that by working with the U.S. and the EU and NATO, of course, is to some sort of to get some sort of leverage on his promise for debt relief. I mean, that's what Tsipras has been promising now for 4 years running. So, you know, the only thing that they can offer Greece is a better economic future, and that comes in the form of debt relief. Will it happen? You know, I think Germany has said repeatedly that they would never go for such a thing. But that's all they can offer Greece at this point. And that's the only thing that the Greek population may actually say, you know, if we can get this $350 billion somehow loosened or eased, and maybe there's a road to some sort of compromise.
Yeah, because that's a lot of money right there. And those are some pretty interesting points you brought up, Alex. So the last thing I'd like to discuss with you then are the larger implications of Macedonia changing its name, whatever the end result might be, presuming that there is some progress made on this front, and quickly joining NATO and the EU right afterwards. I mean, what would be the implications of that, and how could Macedonia's membership in these two organizations alter the geostrategic situation in the Balkans?
Well, I think militarily, in much the same frame as Montenegro, Macedonia doesn't really add anything on a military front. I think what it does do is it's another piece to a much larger puzzle. And that puzzle is landlocking Serbia. Once again, the noose is tightening around Serbia, and they're surrounding it with NATO. And then, of course, you have the bigger fish in the pond, so to speak, which is Russia. And so what's really happening is that what started in the early 90s is a takeover of the Balkans and of Eastern Europe. And that's happening in the form of the EU and NATO gobbling up these countries one by one, step by step, piece by piece. And so I think with Montenegro comes the next pressure point, sooner or later, which will be Serbia. It gets Serbia into NATO and EU, and then pretty much you conquered all of the Balkans and of Eastern Europe. And then, of course, you're looking at shifting more eastwards towards Georgia, Ukraine, and trying to eventually completely surround Russia with a NATO military presence. And, of course, you have the economic side to NATO, which is the EU. And so I think that Fidom, Montenegro, all these countries are just another piece to the puzzle to eventually take in to swallow up Serbia.
Alex, thanks for sharing the Greek perspective on this burning issue. I was happy to host you on my program. Thank you for coming.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Maria and Alex share with us today, we can see that, yes, there are definitely two very opposite interpretations over the name issue. But delving into the geopolitics of this, it appears as though both of our guests seem to agree that changing Macedonia's name will result in its speedy incorporation into both NATO and the EU. And this does serve American strategic objectives in the Balkans. Not only that, but one of them is definitely to surround Serbia and to obstruct Russian and Chinese interest in the region. So, regardless of how this gets resolved, if it does get resolved in the sense of Macedonia agreeing to a compromise name, more than likely, it's not going to work out to anyone's interest except for the United States and the bigger picture of it. So, folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.